You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From Shakespeare to Schwartz, from Fosse to Alvin Ailey, from Sondheim to Bareilles, from McNally to Fay, it happened to the greats. It still happens every day.
When lightning strikes,
it's the moment you know.
When lightning strikes,
where you're meant to go. You can stand and shout Eureka.
Hi, this is Gerald Brunner, and you're listening to When Lightning Strikes, where we talk about the tingly, mic drop moments that led you to becoming an artist. For nearly two decades, Ray Mercer has been a cast member of The Lion King on Broadway. One of the longest-running male dancers in Broadway history, Mercer is also the show's fight captain. This past November, The Lion King celebrated its 25th anniversary. So welcome, Ray. It's such a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Oh, thank you, Gerald.
What?
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And what an epic couple of months it's been, right, for The Lion King celebrating its 25th anniversary.
Yeah, you caught us at a really good time, Gerald. Yeah, we're in the thick of it, you know, celebrating the 25th anniversary of Lion King being on Broadway. I'm also celebrating my 20th year being a part of the show. So it's really a special time.
I'm aching to know about your lightning strikes moments. When you knew you had to be an artist, when you knew this was your path.
Uh-huh. That's a very good question. It still resonates to this day. I was destined to be a gymnast. I was a competitive gymnast in high school, and my career aspiration was to go to the Olympics. So I was training to go to the Olympics. And I just by happenstance took a ballet class. A friend of mine had said, "Why don't you come take a ballet class? I think you'd be great, you know. You're flexible, you're strong." He said, "Why don't you go take a ballet class?" And I was living in Omaha, Nebraska at the time. And my very first dance teacher was Mary Wall Taylor. She had a very small studio. And I walked into the studio with a bunch of nine-year-olds and tutus. And here I was, this big grown man, taking a ballet class. And I fell in love with it. And she told me that if I was serious about it, that she would allow me to take classes for free. So that's how my dance training began, in a very small ballet studio in Omaha, Nebraska.
Were you an adult at that point? And where were you in your life?
I was a senior in high school. I was 17. You know, I was 17 years old when I was introduced to dance. You know, I was kind of introduced very late comparatively to some dancers who've been dancing since they were 3, 4, 5 years old. So I think that helped too, because I felt like I had a whole lot of catching up to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was very serious about my training when I first started.
Is it hard to put into words what it was? What was it that made you fall in love with this beautiful art form, with dance? What was it about that class?
You know what? It was, I don't know if it was the teacher, how she inspired me, you know, her method of teaching. But, you know, as I further my training, I knew that it was a way to, you know, I always enjoyed the physicality of dance, you know, the jumps and the turns and all of those things were very intriguing to me because I was a gymnast. Yeah. But I think that lightning moment happened when there's a whole nother side of dance that is the artistic side, you know, that side where you can be, you know, you can express your artistic, you know, artistic side of dance, you know, stretching your imagination and figuring out how, you know, how dance is connected to humanity, you know, how we, you know, it's very, that old saying of it, art imitates life. You know, it was that moment where I realized, wow, it's just not the physical, it's those two things that I enjoy very much. And to have those combined into one art form was, I just knew that that was, it would be my career choice forever.
That's extraordinary. At that point, how long had you been a gymnast? For years and years and years?
I started young. You know, I started my gymnastics career when I was like five. Oh, you know, it started me tumbling in the backyard and flipping off garages and cars and things like that. My parents said, we need to get you in a class before you kill yourself. So I, I started very young as a gymnast, and then I trained all the way up until I was, like I said, like a senior in high school.
So how did you go from being in this wonderful class to becoming a professional dancer?
You know, I was finishing up my, you know, I was almost a senior in high school. So I finished up there in Omaha, and I had a strong introduction to dance. She gave me the basics, but I knew that it would require more training. So I spent a year. I went to the University of Nebraska for about a year, and then I transferred to New Orleans, and I minored in dance down there. I graduated from University of New Orleans, and I minored in dance down there. There were also some wonderful studios where I was able to get training there. Eventually, I trained in Chicago. I trained in Detroit and in New York. So I had a vast amount of training where I ended up in Chicago, where I danced with a company and eventually auditioned for Lion King.
So can you bring me to when you got word that you were cast in the Lion King? You did the tour first, right? Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. So listen, I right upon graduating from college, I had to find a job. I had to pay for my way through college. So I had to find a job. And the very first job I ever interviewed for, professionally, I guess you would call it, was to be a flight attendant. And I strategically did that because I wanted to be able to travel to auditions. I wanted to be able to travel if I wanted to take class. I could take class anywhere around the country. So I interviewed for a flight attendant. I was hired, so I was able to travel everywhere. And I eventually ended up, I was based in Chicago at the time. And like I said, I was dancing with a company, and auditions were coming to Chicago, and everybody in the city knew about them. It was like a dream job for me, an absolute dream job for me. It had been running probably about 4 or 5 years at the time, and it was the biggest hit, and everybody was talking about it. So it was a huge audition. Every dancer in Chicago was there at that audition. And I remember auditioning, and there were probably about 100 men in the room. And I, later on during the day, you realize, you look up and there was only maybe 20 of us. And then it felt like, oh wow, this is a possibility. This is a strong possibility. And then when it starts to dwindle down like that, Gerald, that's when you really want it, because it's right in your hands. So at the end of the audition, it probably was about 5 of us left. And I remember the guy that was doing the audition asked if anybody in the room could tumble. And that was my key. I knew that, you know, my gymnastic training would come full circle. So I was able to tumble. And by the end of the audition, there were probably about 100, maybe 120 guys that auditioned, and they only hired 2 of us, and I was one of the 2.
Oh my God. Now, when did you find out? Did you find out in the room that you were hired, or can you bring me to that call or the email or?
No. Oh God, it's the worst. It's the worst, Gerald, because they made us wait. I think we auditioned late summer. It was probably late summer, early fall. And we didn't find out until like November. So I decided in my mind that I would just let it go. And I was, like I said, I was a flight attendant at the time, and I just finished a flight and I was on my way to a rehearsal, and I checked my messages and it was from Lion King. And that phone call, I remember exactly where I was. I remember I had to park the car in the McDonald's parking lot to gather myself. And that call single-handedly changed my trajectory forever. It changed my life forever.
Can you talk about getting that call? What went through your mind? You know, bring me to that McDonald's parking lot.
I can think about it now. It almost brings tears to my eyes right now to even think about it. I was driving in the car and I saw that I had a message. One was for, I'm getting choked up.
Sorry.
One was for my mother and one was from, you know, Bender Casting. And I remember I said, well, I wanted to check the message from my mother. So I pulled over in the McDonald's parking lot. It was the nearest parking lot before I was on my way to rehearsal. And I checked my mother's rehearsal. My mother's message. And she was just saying how much, hi, just checking. I know you just got off a trip, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, check the next message. I wasn't going to check it, but then I decided, okay, let me check it because I was running late for rehearsal. Check the message. And they said, Ray Mercer, hi, this is Sarah Profta, was her name. And that was 20. I still remember that phone call. She said, this is Sarah Profta from Bender Casting. And I have some great news for you. We would like for you to join the cast of The Lion King. And hearing that, it changed my life forever. It really did. It changed my life forever. And I always remind young people, even people who, just young people, remember what that felt like to get that call. Remember that. You know, if you ever need encouragement or a little inspiration, remember what it feels like to get that phone call saying that you are now a part of something huge.
I love that story. And then you toured, right? And then can you bring me to when you got to Broadway? You joined the Broadway cast.
Yes, I had been on tour. I love being on tour. It was great. We went to some fantastic cities. We sat in Chicago for about a year. And then we sat in San Francisco for a very long time too. And there was rumor that one of the guys that was doing the track that I was doing on tour was leaving the show. And I immediately sent an email. And I was still young in the show. I only been there for about a year, year and a half. I was still young in the show. So I sent an email to the resident choreographer and associate choreographer, and I told her that I was interested. And probably about a week later, they contacted me and asked me if I wanted to come to Broadway. One of those other moments, I remember exactly where I was. It was life changing.
Now, was the track the giraffe, that original track that you were in? Yeah. So for people who don't not know, you are at the very top of the show, you are one of the giraffes that comes in that beautiful, majestic moment with the sun rising. And can you talk about that? What that's like for you to be the giraffe, 14 feet high, right, walking across the stage on stilts? Is it?
Yeah, on stilts. Gerald, I love that word majestic, and that's exactly what it feels like. You know, it's one of my favorite. Of course, it's one of my favorite puppets. But the fact that you're on these stilts and you're 14 feet in the air and you're hovering over every other character or animal on stage, you can see it all from up there. So, it's a fantastic thing. I love the puppet. You know, again, my gymnastic training came in handy because it's a maneuver, you know, trying to maneuver both strength and your core strength and balance, you know, to work the puppet. But it's a great puppet. And it's, like you said, it's one of the most iconic visuals in the show. When you see those two giraffes walking on stage and you have the sun rising in the background, it's very visually stunning.
And what was it like? I mean, you most recently you were on Colbert and you did the Thanksgiving Day parade. What was that like to take the giraffe outside your regular milieu, outside the theater, and to have to navigate those spaces?
It's so funny that it was kind of strange taking my giraffe outside of his home. Yeah, you're right. But it was the Colbert show was a tight space, but the associate choreographer did a fantastic job of making it visually, the way it was choreographed and staged, it was visually stunning. So it was just kind of maneuvering within the tight space and getting it. It felt the same, but it was just trying to maneuver the choreography within the tight space. The Thanksgiving Day parade we just did recently, last Thursday, and it was nice. It was just cold. It was cold. Mm-hmm. I know the other dancers were freezing, but I had my big giraffe suit on, so it wasn't so bad. We had a good time. It was one of my bucket lists to do the Thanksgiving Day parade.
So great.
And I got to do it in a giraffe.
Yeah, I saw that the head was moving. Your head was moving, right, Bobby?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Uh-huh. It's all.
What's the joy?
It's all in the choreography.
It's incredible. What is? And then you, obviously, as a member of the dance ensemble, you're a blade of grass, right? Are you a hyena?
Yeah. It's so crazy. I have like between 13 and 15 different costume changes in the show. So I'm a busy man. I'm a busy little dancer. So I get to be a grass. I get to be a hyena. I get to be a giraffe. I get to be a person for a little bit, So I get to be a trickster. I get to be, those are all those costume changes. It's probably close to 13 costume changes. And yeah, it keeps me busy.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What are there some moments or milestones that you could look at with your time at The Lion King where you thought, I can't believe I got to do that. Like, I saw the anniversary. I can't believe the 20th. And there you were all on stage singing with Elton John and how special that was.
Yeah.
Were there some really special, special moments for you that you can point to?
Yeah, there's so many. Just piggyback on what you said. I just to think after 5 years, to be part of a Broadway show for 5 years is unheard of. And then you look up, then it's 10 years, and then 15 years, then 20, and then 25 years, where a Broadway show has thrived for 25 years, and not only thrived, but one of the biggest running Broadway shows in Broadway history. That was a milestone for me. Recently, I found out that I am one of the longest running male dancers in Broadway history. That was a milestone for me. It's things like that where I've been able to have a dual career, where I've been able to perform and be a choreographer. Most performers aren't able to do that, where I've been blessed to have a dual career. That's been a huge milestone for me. Celebrities have come. You know, Michael Jackson came one time. That was a milestone for me. He came and saw the show and spoke to the cast. So, you know, there's little tiny little milestones, but the biggest ones are those kind of iconic timeline achievements that happen, where you look up and you've been there for 20 years and you look up and you're one of the longest running male dancers in Broadway history. You know, me coming from Omaha, Nebraska, that's, you know, it's a big thing.
That's extraordinary. And I was reading that you have, as you mentioned, you have this whole dual career as a choreographer, that you choreograph back in your hometown of Omaha. And
yes.
Can you talk about what that gives you and why that's important for you to also be a choreographer and express yourself that way?
Yeah, I knew eventually that I knew that I wanted to be a dance maker. I knew that I wanted to create dance and I wanted to be a choreographer. And I always, my biggest fear that I would have to sacrifice one for the other. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I hadn't had to do that. Lion King has been very kind, let me take time off to do certain projects. I've choreographed musicals. I've been the resident choreographer for the Ailey School. I was an adjunct professor at Howard University for 2 years. I would take a train down on Mondays to teach choreography there. I've had my works archived at the Smithsonian. I've worked very closely with Broadway Cares and I have won more Broadway presentations for Broadway Cares than Broadway history. So it's those things that I look up and I say, wow, with all the sacrifices that I have to make, I am extremely, extremely blessed to be able to do them both.
That's so wonderful. Do you have an aesthetic, or when you have that kind of blank page, or you're given the commission, is there something that you turn to help you choreograph, you know, something within that, you know, helps guide you?
Yeah, I love that question, Gerald. I love that question. When I'm choreographing musicals, you know, the story is already there. So it's just a matter of me bringing, you know, the story to life through dance. So musicals are different beasts, but sometimes the most rewarding are when I get commissions and, you know, I have full reign. You can create whatever you want. And I've always been attracted to things that touch us all, you know, the humanistic side of art, you know, things that are tangible. You know, books that I've read, experiences that I had, conversations that I have with people, you know, those are the things that are usually the impetus of my work.
Yeah. What are some musicals that you've choreographed? Ain't Misbehaving is one,
just recently,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. I did Ain't Misbehaving. I just recently did Rent over the summertime. I had a great time doing that at ACT Theater Company. I also, in Connecticut, I also choreographed just recently Jersey Boys in Aspen at Theater Aspen, and had a great time with that. The cast was wonderful. Producers were wonderful. So those are the two recent ones. Ain't Misbehaving. I'm scheduled to do Dreamgirls soon, early fall.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I've been told from people that in The Lion King that it's almost like, I mean, it's almost a spiritual experience. Since so many people have been doing the show for many, many years, and that when you come at the very top of the show, when you come together for Circle of Life, it's like everything else doesn't matter. It's almost like a spiritual moment that you come together to do the show, and you know, almost nothing else matters. And that's how it's almost like you're not a warp, but it's like you're that start of something really magical, no matter how many times you do it. But how do you keep it fresh? How do you sustain it for so long? Is it because of that moment of Circle of Life, or what do you do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so that's so beautifully put. It's a very sacred place, you know, that sacred, and you can tell by the, you know, the actors and crew, the entire company takes that, that opening number is such a mind-blowing spiritual, it's one of those things that you have to experience to even wrap your brain around it. So I take it very seriously. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. And, you know, to see that, you know, a lot of people, I remember, I still do remember seeing people in the audience, grown men crying, you know, and to have one piece of art affect so many people in such a visceral way, it's, you know, it's nothing but sacred. You just have to treat it that way. It's one of the most iconic opening numbers in Broadway history. So we take it very seriously. And back to your question, I think that it's because of that, you know, because of the people, you know, so many, there are so many people who have not seen the show. They're seeing it for their very first time. And it's my responsibility as an entertainer to do the best I can and give them a great show. And the cast too. I have a wonderful cast that I work with and we have so much fun. Sometimes the backstage antics are more fun than the things you're doing on stage sometimes, but we have a good time.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is there something you wish you could tell that Ray, who was in the McDonald's parking lot or going to that first ballet class? Is there something, knowing all you know now and all the experiences you've had in your life, is there something you wish you could say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would tell that little boy, I would tell him to be patient. You know, I think that, you know, it, and trust your instincts and trust your talent. You know, I knew that I had a certain amount of talent. You know, I knew that there was something special about me, and being able to, I would tell him to hone in on that and trust that and rely on that. And I also tell young artists that your work ethic is the key. There's no special magic potion, no jiggly poof that's going to happen, and all of a sudden you're going to be this phenomenal artist. It requires work. And I still continue to this day, I continue to work very hard at what I do because I take it very seriously.
Well, Ray, I'm so grateful to have you on the show. It's been a true delight to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Cheryl, I had so much fun. It was great talking to
you. Here's to many, many, many more years. Dance.
Oh, thank you so much for that. I had a great time.
Well, take good care.
Mm-hmm.
It still happens every day. When lightning strikes, it's the moment you know.
The theme song was written by Tom McGovern. This episode was edited by Kyle Moore.
This episode was produced by Anna Stroud.
When lightning strikes.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.